Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast, episode 98.
98, wow.
Yeah, the 100 is just, I can just see it on the horizon, Ben. There it is.
Oh, hello, by the way.
The three figures just pointing at me from the horizon. Hello, Ben.
Hello. Yeah, we need to do the intro, don't we? Hi.
Hello, Ben.
Maybe by show 100, we'll finally get this right.
Do you know what? Do we really, who needs a format? We've survived 100 without a format. We're a loose sort of introduction has always been with our starting point, and then see where it goes from there. So, you know, what's that phrase? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, but I think this has been broken for a while.
Yeah, but fixing it is a lot of effort. So rather than put effort into fixing something, that I think just put a Band-Aid over it. That's my philosophy on a lot of things that don't work properly. Just put a Band-Aid over it and see how long it works without any more remedial work.
I like that.
My battery went on the fire alarm the other day. You know, it starts doing that annoying little blip, sort of.
Beep, oh, yeah.
Beep, sort of every 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be asked to go out and buy a new battery. But then I've got my parents' voice ringing in my ears and your dad's voice, knowing that you don't subscribe to having any kind of fire safety instruments in your house. So I've had all the parents' voices in my ears. Make sure you got a working smoke alarm. Make sure you got a working smoke alarm. And so I did the old-fashioned thing of take the battery out and rub it in your hands for a few seconds.
Oh, you'll get another month out of it.
Well, it seemed to have stopped bleeping. I have bought a new battery now just so I can replace it the next time it starts bleeping, so I'm prepared. But why not get the most out of the battery that's in there? Rubbing it gives it a little more life, as they say.
Amen. Why does that work?
I don't know. There must be some scientific reason. We probably could do with our physicist here to give us some explanation. It must be to do with electrons.
Kinetic energy.
Kinetic energy. Do you think you're essentially charging the battery?
Yeah.
You're saying yeah, like you know what you're talking about.
Well, I hate to be a pedant, but if you're taking a flat battery, rubbing it, and then it works, then you have charged the battery.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's kinetic energy.
All right. I'm just guessing.
It might be taking some. You know, like if you rub a balloon and it uses static. Maybe it's static that it's taking from you. I don't know either. I'm just cutting at straws. But the upshot is it's keeping me safe from burning alive or dying from smoke inhalation
for I would like to,
a little while longer.
Well, that's great to hear. But I would like to double check because you said you had the sort of angels on your shoulder sitting there, the voices of your parents sort of saying, replace the battery, fit it back up safely, get it fixed, get it working.
My mum every now and again says, do you test the alarm on a regular basis? And because I think she tests her alarm probably once a week. And my answer to that question is always, yes, of course I do. But regularly to me is probably every 6 months. And then every time I do test it, I've got the slogan from the advert in my mind. Push the button, not your luck.
Oh, I like it. And, I was just wondering if on the opposite shoulder, you had my little voice in your ear saying, smash it to bits and lob it in the patio.
No, because you're just burnt to a crisp on the other shoulder. I just see the embers of Ben after he's refused to replace his smoke alarm after, I'm guessing we're talking multiples of years now. I can't remember when you first told me that you'd thrown your alarm out, but we're talking 2 or 3 years at least.
I would say possibly even more than that.
And you've just not replaced it.
Still here though.
Still here, but you're pushing your luck and not the button, Ben.
And I know we're in a bit of a heat wave at the moment, but it does get bloody hot in this room where I record. I hate to share this mental image with you, but right before we started recording, I whipped off all my clothes. I'm sat here in my pants recording with you now.
Really?
So hot.
Oh, Ben, I mean, I'd rather not know that for a start.
Well, you do now.
And secondly, I'm glad that we record remotely these days. But I don't know how that's why you sit in your pants. It's got anything to do with you not having a smoke alarm. You've deviated from the subject to avoid answering the question.
I object that you would be horrified at the thought of recording with me whilst I'm in my pants. I thought you and I were brothers. You know, we've been through a lot.
Well, we have been through a lot.
And we would both, you know, think nothing of having a little early morning snooze next to each other in the car.
That's right. Yeah. Before the breakfast show, we'd have a little snooze in the car.
We'd recline the seats and everything,
but fully clothed.
You can come round and be in your pants. That's all right.
Great. Well, let's arrange a date for that. Let's arrange the pant date. And we'll both sit there recording. Maybe that's something we can do for the 100th.
There you go. Little
celebration. With a bit of penis puppetry, you can probably make the figure 100. I saw them once do a beef burger. I'm sure 100 is possible.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, apart from the heat wave and you sitting in your pants, how's your week been?
Not too bad. It's been busy. A busy old week.
Busy old week.
I don't really know. I've been sort of talking to colleagues and sort of saying, why is it so busy? Mm. And they're saying, oh, well, September, innit? And
that's
I don't know what that means. But no, I didn't think it is either.
I mean, you've been a postman long enough now to know that if September was a thing for postmen, September, then you would have heard about it by now.
Well, that's what I thought, but they're all saying, September, you know, kids back to school.
Why does that mean more post?
I don't know why that makes me busy.
I mean, they're just talking bollocks, mate.
Everyone's saying it, though.
Well, I'd like to know why. I'd like you to investigate this further. Have you not, once they've said to you, September, have you not looked into, have you gone, well, I don't understand, can you please explain?
The logic seems to be people are back off holiday, the kids are going back to school, so right. They're back home, they're ordering stuff for the kids, you know, stationery, all that kind of crap.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe that's it.
I suppose that makes sense. People got back off holiday, so, but the post is still coming to your house, but perhaps you're not ordering the stuff while you're away. I don't know.
It's been hot and busy. That's my week. How's yours?
Well, nothing that important to report apart from the mouse incident.
The mouse incident. What happened?
As you know, on and off over the years, I've had a little mouse issue in the house. I've not seen one in the house for a very long time. Well, that's not entirely true. I did see one pop its little head out the other day where I'm doing a lot of the work in the hallway. And it popped its little head up and then ran back underneath the floorboards. Right.
Yeah.
So I have put a couple of mouse traps underneath the floorboards. This is going back a few weeks now. First night, caught one in the trap. Lovely. I'm hoping it was one who popped his little head out. You know, that'll teach you.
I don't know. I don't like that. I think if it's in the room, it's fair play. I think under the floorboards, I mean, I think we may have had this conversation before. Like how much underneath the house is it before it's sort of mouse territory, no longer your house?
Look, if it's underneath the floorboards and I can hear them, I think it's, if I couldn't hear them, I wouldn't be aware of their presence. But the fact that
would you put a mouse trap on the roof?
Well, it's very unlikely they're going to be on the roof, but if I saw one on the roof, why not?
You would?
Yeah.
Because that's very much outside at that point.
If it's outside, yeah, that's different. That's outside. If I see it in open air, but underneath the floorboards isn't open air, is it? That is still, I think underneath the floorboards is still my domain. It's where the wires for the electrics in the house are. So it is still my domain underneath the floorboards.
I mean, no wonder your mum's concerned about your fire alarm if you've got mice chewing through all your electrical cables.
Well, that was a concern because a friend of mine, she lives out in the sticks a little bit. And about a year or so back, she came home. She'd been out. She came home to see a lot of fire engines around her property. And right. News crews, by the way.
Oh, God.
Right? And one of her barns, she's got a big property, and she's got a couple of barns. And one of her barns had gone up in smoke. And when they all looked into it, they said, because there were electrics in the barn, they said that was a rat had chewed through wires and caused the fire.
Christ.
So that has concerned me, which is one of the reasons I have pursued, perhaps quite aggressively, the mice underneath the floorboards.
Yeah, well, fair enough then. If it's a matter of life and death, then you've got to look after yourself.
Right. So this week, as I say, it's been a few weeks since I put the traps down. And I've been checking them periodically, but I hadn't checked them for a little while. And then this week, I'm walking down the hallway about 10 o'clock the other night, and I just get this waft, this waft of death.
Oh, dear.
And I thought, oh, Christ, there's definitely a dead mouse underneath the floorboards now. It's going to be in one of the traps. And I lifted up the floorboard, and it was the smell. And you can't really describe the smell of a dead mouse, but for such a little thing, the smell it gives off in death is huge.
Really?
Oh, honestly. And then I managed to get the trap up. Now, I don't know how long this thing had been in the trap, but it wasn't in a particularly good state, right?
Oh, dear.
So I thought, oh, God, I don't really know what to do with this. So as this was quite late at night, I just thought, I'm going to throw it into a plastic bag and just throw it out the back garden, deal with it in the morning.
Well, that's surely going to attract foxes.
Well, this was the thing, right? Because the next morning, the next morning, the bag was up the end of the garden. But the mouse wasn't completely gone.
Oh, Trev, this poor mouse, what an undignified end you gave it.
It was sort of half a mouse left in the trap. I decided at that point it was best to dispose of everything. I thought there's no point in trying to release what's left of the mouse and keeping the trap, because the trap wasn't in a particularly good state of repair at this point, and it's going to stink. So it's all triple bagged and in the dustbin now. But of course, in this heat, when the dustbin, or the next time I open the big wheelie bin, it is absolutely going to reek. But the thing I thought was, what kind of animal would smell that and think, oh, food? Surely even a fox would go, I'm not going anywhere near that. I know it's a dead bit of meat, but my God, that's not in a state for consumption.
Animals do funny things for funny reasons. We used to have a dog who would deliberately, and this isn't my weird dog, it's a common thing, they would deliberately roll themselves around in fox shit.
Yeah, why did dogs do that? Dogs do roll about in cow shit, fox shit. They're just like rolling about in shit.
It's for a very, in the dog's head, a very logical reason.
Right, is it to masquerade as a fox?
Exactly. It's to literally mask their own scent so that they can get nearer to the foxes or nearer to whatever they're hunting without them detecting the smell of a dog. They'll just smell fox shit, which is fine.
But cow shit, why is it rolling? It's not going to hunt with cows. Dogs, would a dog take...
You were the one that mentioned cows. I didn't mention cows.
No, but I know that dogs roll about. My aunt's dog rolls about in cow pats, I think, sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that, because I've heard that more regularly than fox shit, because foxes excrement and piss stinks.
What a lovely podcast this is. Death and shit.
But it does though, doesn't it? It does. It's a horrible smell. And if your dog rolls in that, I would imagine that's quite a job to shift it. Not even the best dog shampoo. It's gonna take several goes.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really want to tackle that. Is it cruel to spray a dog with a power hose?
It depends how much power you're putting in it. If it's one of those like pressure washers, I would say no, because that's going to force his innards out. But just a normal hose with normal tap pressure, sure. Go mad, and he'll probably love that. But no, if you're talking like one of those, what are they called?
Karcher pressure washer. I've got one downstairs.
Karcher pressure washer on a dog. That's going to do. I mean, that's taking like paint off of stuff.
I'm not talking point blank. You give it a meter or two.
Yeah, I'll give it some. Give it a fighting chance. Jesus Christ, Ben. Oh, why not? What about a flamethrower? Would that be a better option? But from a distance, I'm just looking to char the smell off its fur.
Oh no, the smell of burnt fur. Oh God, that'd be awful.
Burnt hair, that's a smell, isn't it?
What would be the worst smell? Your sort of half-dead mouse or a sort of singed dog?
I think a singed dog wouldn't be as bad as half a dead mouse.
I mean, I struggle to believe the mouse could kick off such a smell. I had a dead rat once, which reeked. But, I mean, it went pretty quick.
Well, this the smell's still in the house, mate. This was 2 days ago.
And Have you opened the windows?
Of course I've opened the windows. But then I don't know whether the smell is actually just still in my nostrils and my throat.
That has happened to me before. You get a stench, and I don't know if it's a scientific thing, but it becomes part of you for a while.
Yeah. And it follows you about, and you just, I mean, the other night I just, everywhere I walked, I was thinking there must be another dead mouse because the smell was everywhere I went, but it was just, it was in my being.
Not to try and trump your story, but I have moved multiple dead bodies in my time.
Okay. Right. Is this something you want to confess? I didn't realise as we reached 100, you'd been waiting for the... I thought I'd do it on the 100th. I thought that's when I'd confess to being a serial killer, but as we're on the subject...
No, it was all completely legal. But I can confirm that the smell of human death, or just the odour of death, is a very distinctive smell.
Yeah.
And I noticed for a good 48 hours after each... moving of a corpse, that the smell does sort of get in you. It's strange. You can taste and smell it for days. It's a weird thing.
I think you need to explain why you were moving corpses.
I don't want to.
Just leave it there. Just let us guess why you were moving corpses about.
Basically, a few years ago, I had a small period of time where I was assisting an undertaker. He needed an extra pair of hands, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I'd get the odd call-out job. It was like being Superman. You get the phone call.
What's it like, Superman? I mean, what kind of signal are they putting up for that?
Yeah, you'd get the phone call. You'd change into your costume.
Well, you're in your pants already, so that's helpful.
Yeah, you got to put your suit on, get in the black van, and drive away, and then go to the place. And
yeah. And were Burke and Hare a decent company to work for? Or?
Burke and Hare of Croydon. Yeah. No, it was great.
It was great. It was great.
It was great. As it can be. I mean, I was always very impressed with how professional the company I worked for was. And I thought it was quite nice giving someone a fairly dignified send-off. Of course, it pisses my wife off no end when I can't, you know, without retching, I can't pick up dog shit or clean up after the dog.
Yeah, but a dead body, not a problem.
But a dead body, not a problem.
Wow.
But also, there is a bit of pressure on you. When you go into someone's house to remove their loved one from the building forever, you can't really be in there going, sticks.
I'd imagine if you're retching at that, it's not the job for you.
No. But what was strange was I could keep myself together for that, but handling the dog's business is not my cup of tea.
Oh, I mean, I don't know how we've got onto this.
What were we talking about? Your mouse?
Yes. Yes. The mouse, and we've moved to you moving corpses about. Talking of dirty, stinking rodents.
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Gove dancing in a nightclub this week?
That was one of the most surreal moments of this year for me. It was so strange. Have you ever had a lucid dream before?
A lucid dream?
Yeah.
Where you're aware.
You become aware that you're dreaming, and then you can take control of the dream.
Well, no, I've not. I don't think I've ever been able to take control of a dream.
I've tried it for a while. I've never been able to quite master it. But I was just scrolling through Twitter one night, and all of a sudden, I scroll past Michael Gove in a nightclub in his suit, dancing away to like some sort of rave thing. And I suddenly thought, am I asleep? Am I dreaming about Michael Gove in a nightclub? Because this can't be real.
Although, if you were dreaming that, I would be really concerned. You know, it's actually better than it's real. Because if you'd phone me up and went, Trevor, I was having this weird dream last night. Michael Gove was in a nightclub. So I'd probably send you for some psychiatric help.
Yeah, so that was so, so strange. And it reminded me... I don't know if everyone's going to get this reference or not. I know you will. the sort of early episodes of Alan Partridge, where he has flashbacks of himself dancing in some sort of club to impress someone. It was just like that.
Yeah. According to the reports, it was at 2 a.m. in the morning. And he's, because he, about, I don't know when it was, but he split up from his wife, didn't he? So he's embracing the single life.
But it didn't even look like he'd undone his top button.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, though, if you're in a club at 2 a.m., surely at some point, you would have either at least taken your jacket off. Imagine how hot he's going to be.
Loosen your tie. Come on, Michael.
I'm not sure he had a tie on.
Did he not?
I think perhaps he'd taken the tie off, but I don't think he'd unbuttoned anything. And he certainly still had his jacket on.
Is it a midlife crisis? Is it fair for us to be laughing at his midlife crisis?
Well, it could be, but perhaps we're being very unfair to Michael Gove because we do know that he's quite the cool cat. Really?
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Because we know that he's into rap.
Trev, you're not going to play it, are you?
Do you remember when he went to a school and they said to him, we understand you're into rap?
Oh.
And he said, yeah, I'm into rap.
The first rap I probably heard when I was younger was actually quite a vanilla rap, which was the Wham rap.
It was the Wham
with Andrew Ridgeley and George Michael.
It was the Wham rap. It was a vanilla rap, but it was the Wham rap.
Oh, who the fuck says Wham?
The Wham rap.
It was the Wham rap.
God.
And he then went on to sing the Wham rap for as much as he can remember.
Hey, everybody take a look at me. I've got street credibility. I may not have a job, but I have a good time with the boys I meet down on the line.
The boys he meets down on the line. He has a good time because he's got street credibility. We know he's got street cred now.
Yeah.
And as he performs
the Wham rap.
The Wham rap. So perhaps he's always been out and about clubbing. He's been going to all the right places. But, you know, he's clearly into his stuff. He wasn't just saying it to impress the kids.
No, of course not.
Not that they'd be impressed by the Wham rap, I'm sure.
Christ.
But have you ever found yourself in a club? Because I've always hated clubbing.
I've never been clubbing.
You've never been to a nightclub?
No.
Oh, they are horrendous places.
I can imagine.
I've been to a couple when I've been really absolutely hammered and you've just gone with it. But when I was about 18, 19, 20, when we all used to go, not very often, we used to go to this place called Options in Kingston. And honestly, I'd get there, you'd think, what am I doing here? None of us could dance. I mean, I don't really think much of dancing full stop. I think dancing's a ridiculous thing. And and even if you watch someone who can dance, I still think they look ridiculous. It's why I can't watch Strictly Come Dancing or any of that, because I look at it and I just, you look fucking ridiculous. I know there's probably some skill involved, but you're not seeing that in a nightclub generally. You're seeing very pissed people just moving about.
Yeah. I can just imagine, though, if I had come up, if you and I went out, you know, it's the 100th podcast in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate, we're going clubbing.
Yeah.
And at 2 in the morning, I pat you on the shoulder and say, Trev, Michael Gove's here. Michael Gove's dancing. You say, right, it's time to go home, man.
I don't know. I think I'd stay a bit longer. To be honest, if I saw Michael Gove in there, I think this is going great. So I get the video camera out. Video camera, that's how up to date I am.
Yeah, not your mobile phone.
No, I carry the video camera around just in case I see politicians in nightclubs.
I wonder how much damage he's done for that club or just the nightlife scene in general.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, I don't know how old Michael Gove is now. I'll look up how old Michael Gove is because I'm guessing he's in his 50s.
Do you need to use a mobile phone to look that up or will you go through the newspapers?
Yeah, I'm just going to pop off to the library. I'll be back in about 24 hours. Michael Gove, he's 54. He's 54 years old. See, I think that there's an age where you should stop going to clubs. I hated them, but if you go to a club, most people in a club are going to be, I would say, 18 to let's go 30 as the top end. Certainly the clubs I went to.
Yeah. So I would say that time for Michael Gove to stop going would have been about 1988.
Exactly. No, that's when he should have stopped going to clubs. I once went, a mate of mine, who's a lot older than I am, we were in Wales and we'd been out drinking and we're in this little seaside town. And there's one nightclub in this place. I think it's called the Sandpiper.
They're all such shit names as well, aren't they? Options. Options, the Sandpiper.
Yeah. So down in Wales, my mate who's as I say, quite a bit older than me. He says, I want to go to this nightclub. And we go in, and it's one of those things. It was out of holiday season. I think during the holiday, they probably get a lot of tourists. But outside holiday season, we walked in, and it was like one of those moments where it all went quiet and all eyes were on us. It was really uncomfortable.
Right.
He said to me, oh, you know, let's stay for a while. And I was like, really? Do we have to? She said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get up on the dance floor. And it was him. And then this other old guy, who must have been about 70, got up on the dance floor. And these two older blokes, my mate at the time was probably, I guess he was mid-50s, so about Michael Gove's age.
Right.
So there's my mate who's mid-50s. There's this guy who's probably about 70, essentially having a dance-off.
Oh, my God.
And the locals were not happy with my mate, because obviously this 70-year-old is probably a bit of a local nightclub hero, and everything the old guy did, my mate would then do, and then everything my mate did, the old guy would then do, and the whole thing was just awful. Now I've sort of thought, I just get out of here as quickly as possible, because the thing about a nightclub also, because I don't like dancing, it's the people that want you to get up and dance. It's the fuck off.
Well, they're often half pissed, aren't they?
You get them at weddings as well, don't you? But the relatives at weddings
who start pulling you by the arm.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to. And then they get so affronted that you don't want to dance with them. So, well, you know, if I wanted to dance, I'd be up there and then we could dance. But there's enough people up there for you to dance with. I don't know why I have to be dragged up to humiliate myself in front of everyone and pretend I got some sort of rhythm. Ludicrous.
So what I wanted to check with you was, do you know the words to the wham rap?
When?
Do you think it's some terrible midlife crisis?
Yeah.
Or do you think, because you know what? I was going to say much. I don't have any respect for Michael Gove. But I would have some respect if he came out and said, you know what? I'm sure you all think it's very embarrassing that you've all caught me dancing at 2 a.m. in some club. The fact of the matter is, it's not actually a midlife crisis. I know I've just split up with my wife. It's not a midlife crisis. I just fucking love raving at 2 a.m. It's how I blow off steam. I have a very high pressure government job. People don't like me. I get a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So what I do is I go out at 2 a.m. and I fucking dance. And you know what? I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Then I'd say, credit to you, Michael Gove. Respect.
Yeah.
I would admire that because I think, right, I don't really like the term guilty pleasure.
No.
But I think my guilty pleasure in life is probably I spend far too much time wasting my life playing various variations of Mario games and you know, it's far too many video games and stupid shit like that, which is a complete waste of my life and time. I know that, but it gives me fun. You could argue that, you know, football, going to watch the football's ultimately pointless. The thing rolls on season after season after season. The same old shit every week. You know, nothing really means anything, does it?
No, nothing really means anything. We might as well all just die.
No, I mean, but no.
But the good thing is, you'll be there to move our bodies. So,
but no one, you know, pastime is any more valuable than another, really, is it?
No.
Train spotting, going to the football, playing video games, dancing at a club. I just have this horrible feeling that he's trying to recapture his youth and, you know, the good old days of wham.
The worst thing, I've just read this.
Oh, nice to know you're paying attention to my speech.
Yeah. Well, it means nothing in the end, does it? When you're talking, when I'm talking, it doesn't mean anything.
Life's futile and then you die.
It's all futile.
Good night.
But let me tell you this little bit of detail. Apparently, he wasn't keen on paying the £5 entry fee. According to reports, I don't know how true this is, he said he shouldn't have to pay because he's the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. Oh, I didn't know that gives you free pass into clubs.
Oh, I'm sure that bowled the bouncers over. Oh, well, hang on a minute.
They said he seemed to get away with it. as he was already halfway up the stairs. It was like he just nipped in. Like, if we did that at a club, we'd be wrestled to the ground and ejected forcibly before you could say wham.
I am going to try that, though. Next, if I ever get ID'd or anything, I'm just going to keep walking and saying, I'll have you know I'm the Chancellor of the Duchy of... What the fuck was it?
Lancaster.
Yeah, well, which sounds that
like
pass?
A, sounds like a title of something from Game of Thrones. What's your guilty pleasure then?
My guilty pleasure would probably be playing too many video games, which I'm probably, you know, it's not really something an adult should be doing. And I have quite a big soft spot for WWE wrestling, which again, I'm aware I should have left aside many years ago, but I don't care. And I know it's not real fighting. I know that, but I don't care.
You don't care. Well, that's good though. It's good that everyone should have their own little guilty pleasure. And why should it be guilty? Like, why do we call it a guilty pleasure?
Exactly. I mean, this is what I'm trying to say.
It's a pleasure.
It's no more.
You get pleasure out of wrestling.
Yeah. I get, you know, sweaty men in their pants.
Turn you on.
Gets me going every
gets
time.
Gets you going.
Yeah.
And then you like to play with your joystick.
Exactly. So what, I mean, you must have, I mean, no one's going to agree, you're big into your football, and no one's going to agree with me that football's a guilty pleasure. I'm just arguing that it's equally pointless. But what would you say that is something you're interested in that would be thought of by the public as a guilty pleasure?
Well, I tell you the one thing that I do occasionally, it's something that I've discovered a like for in recent times, and I have talked about this on the podcast before, is... jigsaws.
Yes.
And I've got a couple of jigsaws in the cupboard that I got for my birthday last year, which I haven't done yet, which I will do. But I also do online jigsaws. I was, funny enough, I was doing a couple just before we started recording. I was doing one of a tortoise, and I also did one of a hedgehog. So, you know.
Was there one of a half-eaten mouse?
That wouldn't be much of a jigsaw, would it? I mean, who would want that? Who brought that as a jigsaw?
You'd think there were a load of pieces missing before you start.
And while we were talking on last week's podcast, Ben, something came up which has got me thinking throughout the week.
Okay.
It was OnlyFans we were talking about last week, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you brought up this Rule 36 of the internet.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard of that before, and I didn't think anything of it at the time. I just thought, oh, well, Ben knows this Rule 36. But then I got thinking about, well, if that's Rule 36, there's got to be other rules of the internet. How have I not ever heard of this?
On the off chance that anyone missed last week's podcast, Rule 36 of the internet is, if you can think of it being anything, it's somebody's fetish.
Yeah, half dead mice, you and your pants, all of those things, fetishes for people. So I thought, well, you know, I don't know the rules of the internet, so I looked them up. There's 102 of the fucking things.
Yes, there are. I was convinced as well. I've had a look through the list of rules of the internet, and I was convinced don't fuck with cats was one of the rules of the internet, but it's not on this list unless I've missed it.
There's a couple of cat ones I've come across. There's a cat is fine too, which again, it does, on its own, makes no sense. That's rule 17. Rule 18, one cat leads to another. Well, I guess that's true because once you get onto cat videos, you can't not watch more cat videos, can you?
Yes, that's true.
But the same could be said for dogs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about cake.
Yes, there is, yeah.
One just says, it is delicious cake, you must eat it. Like, why?
I don't know what most of these mean. I feel like it's probably an in-joke, but I'm not in on it. If you're very bored, I could tell you, I do think I know what the cake is a lie means. There is a rule of the internet, the cake is a lie.
The cake is a rule 46. I've just seen that. The cake is a lie. What does that mean?
I think it's a reference to a video game, which is, as I've established, right up my street.
Yeah, right, okay.
Portal. I think there's a bit in the game where this sort of governing voice, who is a sort of robot overlord, is basically trying to entice you into doing something for it, and it promises you cake, but there was no cake. The cake is a lie.
And that's become a rule of the internet.
I don't know why. I don't know if that's just come from that game, or if it was a reference even before that that maybe I've missed. I don't know. I'm not sure who is interested in what I'm saying at the moment.
Okay.
Do you ever get that? Do you ever panic when you suddenly thought, I know what that means. I'll talk about that. Fuck, this is boring.
I've been doing it for 98 episodes. I'm not going to stop now. There seems to be this thing, anonymous, comes up quite a lot. I don't know what that means. Is it someone who...
Well, anonymous are the hacking group, aren't they?
Right, but does that mean... Are they talking about that group, or are they just talking about anyone who remains anonymous on the internet?
I think a lot of these... they're either jokes that we're not in on...
Yeah.
Or they're just sort of there for your interpretation. I think I've just found rule zero is don't fuck with cats.
Rule zero? That's not even on my list, rule zero.
Yeah, I think that's... I think it's rule zero because it is the, you know, be-all and end-all. Everything comes down to don't fuck with cats.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Rule 77, Hal Turner definitely needs to go to hell. Who's Hal Turner?
I don't know who Hal Turner is, but I seem to have a different list. Because rule 77 for me is the internet makes you stupid.
Well, that's ridiculous. There's two lists of rules. If you're going to have rules for the internet, they've got to all concur. That should be a rule of the internet. Having rules of the internet should all be the same. Because otherwise, nobody knows where anyone is.
I've just
found out Hal Turner is a white nationalist who hosts a radio show broadcast live on the internet. So Hal Turner definitely needs to go to hell. I agree with that then. That's fine.
Fair enough.
Did you just tell you this, just little going off on a tangent here. But did you see this thing, talking of going to hell? There's a priest who said that he believes that demons and evil spirits have figured out how to send text messages.
Why?
He said that he's experienced three instances of demon texting, and on each occasion they targeted high-value people who were texted by the most evil of demons. He thinks this is always going to happen when he's due to perform an exorcism or something like that. And he says that the demons have now worked out how to send text messages.
And does he go on to say what sort of messages they're sending?
Yeah, apparently one text. So he was just about to, I think, start an exorcism on someone. And a text came through that said,
"Her torments start now, priest. All night, we will make her bleed."
Ew.
And another one said,
"We're glad she's away from you now."
Oh, that's a bit sinister, isn't it?
It's a little bit sinister. But wouldn't you be intrigued? I'd probably want to enter a dialogue.
I mean, my phone was briefly, for I'd say almost a year, possessed by a demon. And about three times a day, I'd get messages from it saying, "This is Vodafone, your bill is ready." And I couldn't get rid of that demon. I mean, yeah. I was having exorcisms. I just couldn't get shot of that bastard.
You know, I don't like to answer phone calls if I don't know the number. Right, I tend to ignore them.
Which I would urge you to start doing.
Well, I've answered the phone. This is my house phone. I've answered a couple of times recently, and I've taken a slightly different tack, because normally if I answer the phone and there's that little bit of silence where they wait for an answer, I just start shouting abuse down the phone. That backfired, remember, when I told my dad to fuck off. So I do now, that caused me to buy new phones so I could see the numbers.
Can I just quickly interrupt you and ask, did your dad ever bring that up again?
No.
I like your dad for that.
Yeah, we've never spoken about it. We didn't even mention it the rest of that phone call, when he eventually phoned me back and he just said, "Did you just tell me to fuck off?" I went, "Yes." And I said, "Tell me about that." And that was it. That was the end of it. We've never mentioned it since.
I like your dad. I'd have been asking you all sorts of follow-up questions to that. But yeah, I think he just thought, fair enough. Yep. Okay. What, you did tell me to fuck off. Move on.
What I've now started doing is, depending on what sort of mood I'm in, if I'm in a bad mood, I may not answer. But the other day I was in a bit of a mischievous mood, but still pissed off that I was getting this phone call. So I picked it up and I went, "Hello." And the woman went, "Hello, can I speak to Mr. Smith?" And rather than say, "Oh, yes," I just thought, I'll just keep saying hello in sort of different accents and
but
see how long you can keep them on for.
But so you are Mr. Smith, so she might have actually had an important thing to talk to you about.
Very unlikely. So I just started going, "Hello, hello, 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 hello. Just kept doing that until she hung up.
So, really?
Yeah, I think I might start doing that more on a regular basis because that's more fun than just shouting obscenities down the phone.
I'm going to make you an offer. Yeah. And I'm going to... You can keep this in the podcast recording so that you've got proof that I've said this.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer you... How much do you think it would cost to set up your home phone with some sort of device which recorded your incoming calls and your conversation?
I don't know. I'm sure we could arrange it quite easily.
I'll pay for it.
Right. Okay.
I up to the value of 100 quid.
Yeah.
I will pay for that to be done on the condition...
Yeah.
That you answer the phone when it rings and we get to use those conversations as a feature on this podcast.
Yeah. I tell you what I did do a couple of times, because since I've got all the things in place that block as many of these phone calls as possible, I don't get nearly as many as I used to. But when I was getting a lot, and I was getting a good 5 or 6 a day.
Right? That's insane.
They were driving me insane. So I did go through this phase of, I had them all lined up on my computer, just a lot of sound effects of people screaming. And a couple of times when the phone rang, I just picked it up, put it to the speaker and just played blood-curdling screams. And then when I put the phone to my ear, there was never anyone there. So I'm just, those sorts of things I think are more fun to do.
You know what we could do? I've just thought this podcast has come full circle. What we need to do is get you to record your phone calls with these nuisance callers.
Yeah.
And we also need to create a Michael Gove soundboard, yes. Including the Wham rap, so that we can talk to them.
When they say, "Is Mr. Smith there?" I just play this.
Hey, everybody, take a look at me. I've got street credibility. I may not have a job, but I have a good time with the boys I meet down on the line.
And see whether they're still there at the end.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I think we've covered the rulers of the internet quite well there. There we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, I've got 3 recommendations for you this week.
3?
First of all, it's one of my favourite TV programmes of all time. It's back on telly. Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing.
Oh, okay. What's that, Series 3?
I think it might even be Series 4 now.
Oh, wow.
It's on BBC 2. I watched the first episode. There's just one moment in it. Because Bob Mortimer he's got very poor sense of balance. He falls over a lot.
Does he?
But so far, he's not fallen in the water. But right. This week, that finally happened. It wasn't when he fell in the water. It was his face as he almost fell in for the second time that just pushed me over the edge. It was so fucking hilarious.
Okay, that sounds good.
So that's worth a watch. I've watched the final season of Baptiste. I don't know if you've been following any of his stories. He's a French detective. And I think he first appeared in a TV show called The Missing. But then they kind of took his character out on his own. And I think this was the final season ever. But I watched all that in a day and a half. I just caned that. Absolutely amazing.
So and what platform is that on?
That's on the iPlayer. BBC. Okay. I don't know if you can go back and watch it all from the start on the iPlayer. I think you can, because that's probably worth doing. Go back right to the start, The Missing, get to know the character, because there's some story arcs there that's worth knowing.
Okay.
And finally, I think this will be right up your street, Ben. I watched the film the other day, Fighting With My Family.
Oh, I know this. This is all about Paige.
All about Paige. Directed
yeah, the rest by of the Paige.
Stephen Merchant.
And The Rock's in it.
The Rock's in it.
Nick
Frost's in it. It's a brilliant film. Really, really good. I didn't think it would be my thing because it's about wrestling. I've been wrestling.
You're all right.
You know, it'd be good if you're a child this week.
I must say, to my shame, I've known that's been out for a while and I have not watched it yet, but it is on my list.
But it was on Channel 4 or Film 4, I think, the other day. I don't know if it's that. I'm assuming it's available on the catch up.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. I don't know how much of it is spot on true. I think it's fairly real to life.
I think so, from what I understand of Paige's life, yeah.
And her family are fucking nuts. I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying that.
Yeah, I think that's fairly well documented, yeah.
And she went on to become like the youngest, or what was it? She became like a double champion or something. she's just this little wrestling girl from Bristol who suddenly became this massive star.
Yeah, are you going to shit on that now and say she didn't really beat anybody, it was all scripted, it's all fake, and she didn't really the champion of anything? And
of course it's all fake, and you know, you might as well have a little...
Oh, no, you mustn't use the word fake.
All right, it's all choreographed.
Yeah, we don't use the F word.
What I don't understand about it, this is one thing I really don't understand, is if it's all choreographed, how do they decide the winner? Is the winner already decided? Because when she wins the Diva Championship, I think it's called.
Yes.
When she wins that, she seems to genuinely win it.
No.
So did she, because in the film, they don't make it clear that she knew she was going to win it. Did she know she was going to win it? That's what
I haven't seen the film, so I can't really comment on that. But I can say that in wrestling, I mean, I could really nerd out on you if you want. I think 99 times out of 100, you know the finish going in. I think with the exception of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, I don't think Hulk Hogan was aware of whether or not Andre was going to let him pin him or not. But now I'm getting really nerdy again.
I've no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
I know you don't. And again, I don't care.
And I don't care either. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know what you're saying, and I care even less.
That could be the slogan for this podcast.
There we are.
You don't have to know what they're saying, and you can care even less.
Thank you very much for listening and downloading. You can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We might look at it. It's at Trevor Bell on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.